Classic. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. Welcome back to the show. I'm your overnight dude, 2 to 5 a.m. The opening bell at 5, Steve Cochran at 6. That is Thin Lizzy for Thin Lizzy Thursday, man. And our listeners have embraced Thin Lizzy Thursday, right, Dan?
I think we have bumps for the rest of the show from requests.
Wow, look at that. Old Harley guy requested whiskey in a jar. By Thin Lizzy for Thin Lizzy Thursday. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You can check us out at facebook.com/Nick D Show, Twitter at Nick D Show. And we're going to be talking about the crazy after-school specials. You guys remember the after-school specials? Now, I think, Dan and Esmeralda, you guys are probably too young to have experienced the after-school specials. Right, Dan?
I remember seeing a couple of them, and then they did do a cartoon one I remember pretty vividly.
What was the cartoon one?
So a little bit earlier in the show, for people who were just tuning in, we were talking about how Roger Rabbit wouldn't happen today because of all the characters, you know, all the rights would be fought over and nobody could just... So I remember pretty vividly they had an anti-drug cartoon that I want to say Fox ran at like 7 p.m. one night, and it had every cartoon character imaginable, and it was, you know, like four kids, and it was following them as one guy was trying to get score drugs, and he kept running into like G.I. Joe, and then he'd run into the Smurfs, and then he'd run into Porky Pig, and they'd all be telling him no, and...
Wow.
Very vivid memory.
Oh, man, I want to watch that.
Yeah, that sounds... Actually, that sounds pretty awesome, doesn't it, Esmeralda?
Yeah, I want to see that.
You know, remember that that morning when we were analyzing the G.I. Joe cartoons and playing the messages?
That was awesome.
Like, they were PSAs, right? PSAs with characters from G.I. Joe.
At the end of every G.I. Joe episode, they would have a, you know, now you know, G.I. Joe.
That's hysterical. So it sounds like that, but with a whole bunch of different characters. Yeah. Esmeralda, did you ever get into the? Did you ever see the after-school specials?
I don't remember watching them as a kid, but I know, you know, later on, and I've heard how silly and insane they are.
Yeah, MeTV posted something called, it was just 13 attention-grabbing titles of 70s and 80s after-school specials. I'm 50, so the after-school special is right in my wheelhouse. You know, they were on. They were on all the time, and even at a young age when I'd watch the after-school special, I thought they sucked. Even at a young age, I'd be like, this is stupid. Now, it was good intentions, you know? I mean, ABC and whoever else, I just remember ABC having the after, like, I believe ABC had the actual title, ABC's After-School Special. I think that belonged to ABC, if I remember correctly. But if you'd like to jump in here with your memories of after-school specials, please do. 312-981-7200. You can send your texts of your most memorable and craziest and goofiest after-school specials. Send the text or call us now at 312-981-7200. Okay, are you ready for some of the titles? And these are real, Esmeralda.
Go for it.
Okay, from 1973. See, some of these, it's the title, you really kind of don't need anything else. This is, okay. 1973, Esmeralda, the first one. My dad lives in a downtown hotel.
Why is that so bad?
That's the title. Because I'm assuming that he doesn't live at home with mom.
Okay. I was just there trying to shame him for living in... It's like everyone has different places where they live.
Little Joseph Grant Jr. deals with his parents' divorce. That's what it's about. Beau Bridges plays Joe Sr. And the actor who played the kid was Ike Eisenman, who would show up in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. They got Beau Bridges living in a downtown hotel? You know, he's like living in a downtown hotel. He probably had like a hot plate.
I'm assuming also it's like in whenever you see someone living in the downtown area, there's police sirens people yelling outside.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not a good thing. Not a good thing. Living in a downtown hotel. Who did this guy play in Star Trek II, I wonder? All right, how about this one? The magical, this is from 1974. The magical mystery trip through Little Red's head.
That sounds cool. What?
It does sound like, here's what it is. Early on, ABC's after-school specials would jump from educational animation to nonfiction to scripted drama. This cartoon shrinks two kids who journey inside the brain of a teenage girl. And, of course, Ike Eisenman provides the voice. Boy, this guy got a lot of, this kid got a lot of work.
So, wait, were they all not about drugs?
No, not all of them.
I just assume they're all like, hey, kids.
No, they're
do
all
drugs.
Like what kids went through, and you could learn a lesson, you know?
Okay, I thought this was going to be about acid.
Oh, some of them are.
It's the magical mystery trip.
Yeah, no, that's what I would you would think, too. Yeah, here's I got more here. I have an entire list, the Wikipedia list of every title.
I will point out, that's just the ABC ones. I did not print off the CBS or any additional ones because I was worried we were going to run out of paper.
Yeah, this is like a ream of paper right here. 14 trees were killed to print up all of the titles of the only of the ABC after-school specials. Does anybody remember 312-981? Now, I remember a lot of the controversial made-for-TV movies, which we've talked about before. Like Linda Blair, Portrait of a Teenage Alcoholic. I think it was called Sarah. And they all had, like, the girl's name or the guy's name in it. And, wait a minute. Does anybody remember The Death of Richie? I bet Mary Vandeveld does. I bet Mary Vandeveld remembers The Death of Richie. Do you know who the lead was in The Death of Richie?
Is it her boyfriend?
It's her future ex-husband, Robbie Benson.
Did he play a white guy?
Yeah. He did, oddly. He didn't play a Native American in this one. Yeah, no, it's called The Death of Richie. This was one of the most controversial and revealing TV movies in that time period. Robbie Benson plays a kid, teenager, who gets hooked. I can't remember. I know he gets hooked on some sort of drugs. I don't remember what. I don't know if it was based. I can't remember whether it's actually based on a true story or not, but it was called The Death of Richie. I want to say it was 1979, maybe. And he goes all nuts on drugs. And then Ben Gazzara plays his dad and kills him. Like he shoots him and kills him. Now, I don't know if it's based on a true story. I just remember like Robbie Benson, like, you know, doing a lot of quote unquote acting in it. Like a lot of sweating and screaming and crying.
It is based on a real story.
Oh, it's based on a true story. Okay. But his dad ends up shooting him. His dad kills him, played by Ben Gazzara. The Death of Richie. I bet Mary Vandeveld still has that on beta. All right, how about this one? Here's one from 1974. Here's the title. Esmeralda, you ready for the title of this one?
Go for it.
Psst. Hammerman's after you.
Oh, no.
Then it just says, keep your eyes peeled for Willie Ames in this tale of bullying. Wow. Psst, Hammerman's after you. You know that's not when a kid named Hammerman is after you.
Yeah, and he probably called himself the Hammer.
Yeah. Hammerman. That's if you're born with that name, you're born a bully.
Right. And every time he says it, he has to punch his hands.
That's right. That's right. I'm Hammerman. That's right.
You're going to get a hammering.
I'm going to crack.
By Hammerman.
But Hammerman's going to hammer you, Hammer. Well, what happens if MC Hammer goes to the same school as Hammerman? Or what about if Nicholas Jalmerson went to the same school as Hammerman? What are they going to do then?
Well, then that's just a crazy buddy movie.
Okay. Where Nicholas Jalmerson and Hammerman hang out?
And then the cover is them back to back.
Oh, man. All right. We got to take a quick break here. We got weather. We got traffic and more attention-grabbing titles of real after-school specials. Do you remember any of the after-school specials? Love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. And I'd like to thank the sacrifice of all the trees for me to be able to read all of the ABC After School Special titles, which I will probably do in rapid succession at some point.
When they say it's over, it's not all over, there's still the pain. And I'd come running back to you again.
Oh, this is one of my favorite Thin Lizzy songs. 262 area code requested running back to you, Thin Lizzy Thursday. Thin Lizzy Thursday, man! Seems like Thin Lizzy Thursday has become an unqualified success. That's one of my favorite Thin Lizzy songs. I love that song. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Yeah. And we're talking about the after-school specials. I grew up on them because I have I'm 50, so that's, you know, my childhood consisted of that, and I watched them. Didn't learn anything from them, but I did watch them. And we got people calling in. Here is Muhammad on WGN. Hey, Muhammad.
Yeah, hi Nick. How you doing?
All right, buddy.
All right, I just wanted to tell you that Richie, in the death of Richie, he was doing all kinds of drugs, I think. At one point, he was really wasted, and somebody asked him, "What did you do?" He said, "I did 19 reds." And the person said, "Nobody does 19 reds." He said, "I do."
Wow. You know what? I vaguely remember that. I just remember it being that movie was a big deal, The Death of Richie. I mean, I just remember, like, everybody talked about it at school the next day. It was one of those TV movies that was massively popular, and Robbie Benson, I think, was nominated for Emmys for it and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Nick.
All right, Muhammad. Take care. Nobody does 19 reds. I do. Robbie Benson does 19 reds. Yeah. I just, you know, and now you look back at that movie. Who directed that movie? I'm going to guess. It's a TV movie. It seems to me like a movie like somebody like Joseph Sargent would direct. Like, that guy's name would pop up a lot as the director of a lot of these. I don't remember who the director was, because it's a... do we know who?
Paul Wendkosk?
Yeah, that means nothing to me.
First feature film was The Burglar.
Mm-hmm.
Did the Gidget films.
Oh, okay. And it was Ben Gazzara, Robbie Benson. Who else was in that? Do they have a list of...
Eileen Brennan.
Oh, God. Eileen Brennan. Okay.
And Lance Kerwin.
Lance Kerwin was James at 15. And then eventually he became James at 16. Now, Esmeralda, you have no idea what I'm talking about. There was this hour-long sort of teen drama, which was on in the 70s, which starred Lance Kerwin. And it was called James at 15. And then, like, it got renewed. And they had to change the title to James at 16. James didn't make it to 17 in the TV world.
Oh, no.
He got canceled before he turned 17. All right, how about this one? From 1975, Esmeralda, would you be interested in seeing the after-school special, It Must Be Love, 'Cause I Feel So Dumb?
Aw.
Oh, man.
Yes. Actually, that sounds adorable.
A 13-year-old develops a deep crush on a cheerleader. The lead, Alfred Lutter, would later star in The Bad News Bears. Who does he play in The Bad News Bears? We got to look up Alfred Lutter. L-U-T-T-E-R. Wow, man. You got to tell me his character name in The Bad News Bears. How about this one, Esmeralda, from 1979?
He played the brainy Ogilvy.
He played Ogilvy? Ogilvy had a crush on a teenage little cheerleader because he felt so dumb. See the irony? He was a brainy. He was brainy in Ogilvy, but he felt as Ogilvy, but he felt dumb in the after school special.
Love does crazy things.
It makes
to
you makes you dumb. 1979, New York City, Too Far from Tampa Blues. I'm assuming it's New York City because he's too far from Tampa and he's got the blues. It's a Puerto Rican boy from Florida, moves to the Big Apple. He befriends Patrick. They form a band and they play Danny Boy in an Irish restaurant. Wait, what? What is that? What is that? It's a Puerto Rican boy. Was it played by Robbie Benson? Geez, wait a... It's like, you're not going to remember Tampa at all. In fact, you're going to start singing Danny Boy. When you hang out in New York with an Irish kid named Patrick, you'll forget about your heritage entirely. Is that the lesson? Oh, here's a great title. This is the best, one of the best titles. All right, Esmeralda, you ready for this one? 1979, the title is Reading, Writing, and Reefer.
Whoa.
Uh-oh. This was a documentary, and it was an NBC news probe into the habits of American teens in 1979. A lot of reefer in 1979. People called it reefer back then. The reefers. Reading, writing, and reefer. Brandon says, I have a great one of the after-school specials, Stoned, starring Scott Baio. And Brandon goes on to say, he dies because he was blowing weed and clowning around on a rowboat. Oh, man. Mike says, don't forget that the after-school special was only on Wednesday. Otherwise, it was movies or other things. Oh, yeah, that's right, because they used to have the 3:30 movie. Yeah, the 3:30 movie. This was an amazing thing, Esmeralda, the 3:30 movie on Channel 7. You know, from school, there'd be a 3:30 movie, and they would have movies and in a 90-minute time slot, because the news was always at 5. So it would be a 90-minute time slot with commercials. So they would take a movie and cut, like, an hour out of it. And so they could fit all the commercials in and fit it into 90 minutes. They used to have Ape Week. And Ape Week... Ape Week was when I would rush home from school. Because Ape Week was when they would show... Monday through Friday, they would show all 5, in chronological order, all 5 of the Planet of the Apes movies.
Oh, wow.
It was fantastic. Problem was, most of them were 2 hours long. Like, the first Planet of the Apes movie, the original, is like 2 hours and 10 minutes long. They cut out, like, an hour and 15 minutes out of the movie so they could fit it into the 90-minute time slot. The 3:30 movie. Jay says, I remember the after-school special jingle was really catchy. But I chose to watch the Cubs on Channel 9. There was an after-school special jingle, Dan? Have you found that, like a theme? Like a generic theme to all of them?
I'll see if I can track that down.
Okay. Now we've got the Ike Eisenman fan club texting us and calling us in. Here's Frank on WGN with Ike Eisenman, who seems to be the star of a bunch of these and the star of Star Trek 2. Hey, Frank.
Yeah. Not exactly, you know, like a big fan of him, but, and it's funny because you mentioned some other guys like Lance Kerwin. Do you remember the amazing cosmic awareness of Duffy Moon?
I do.
You can do it, Duffy Moon. And then he'd lift big rocks out of old ladies' gardens.
Right.
And his sidekick Lance was like, you can do this on your own. And, you know, of course, they had to deal with Boots McAfee.
Boots McAfee.
Yeah, who turned out to be, who was supposed to be a villain and turned out to be this hot girl that, you know, had like leather and stuff. But Lance Kerwin himself, you mentioned himself, you know, seemed to pop up in those, not just James. He was in a Prince and a Pauper version like PJ and the President's Son, that was also an after-school special.
Uh-huh. Hey, wasn't Lance Kerwin in the movie that Michael Landon directed about bedwetting?
Yes.
Lance Kerwin was in that. When the mother would hang the sheets, the wet sheets, the pee-covered sheets, on the laundry line outside to embarrass him?
Yeah, well, that was based on Michael Landon's own personal experience with his own mother.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's true. Michael Landon was a bedwetter late into his teens, and his mom used to do that to try and teach him a lesson, and they made a TV movie out of it.
I don't mean to offend people who might be listening. Michael Landon came from a Jewish family, but he did Little House on the Prairie, which was distinctly Christian.
Yeah.
And I always kind of wondered whether it was a reaction to the way that, you know,
he was brought up. Yeah, him. Maybe. Now, yeah. Well, okay, Frank, we got to break here real quick. But what else did you want to say about Ike Eisenman real quick?
Well, not so much Ike Eisenman, but remember that Lance Kerwin was in a very early ABC After School special, The Bridge of Adam Rush.
The Bridge of Adam Rush.
Yeah, where he was a kid that married in, it was like colonial days, and his mother married this conservative guy who ended up making a deal with some sheep herder to build a bridge over a river. And the kid wanted to build a window for his mother, and he ended up doing with the bottoms of bottles.
Wow. Well, you have a great memory. All right, Frank, I got to run because we got to hit the news, but I appreciate it.
Cool.
Take care, Frank. Wow, he's got a memory. Holy cow. Well, you'll learn more about Lance Kerwin than you've ever wanted to learn on this show. News is next.
Ready to rock. Are you ready to rip it up? Do you know what I'm talking about? Are you ready to give it up? Are you ready to dance?
Yeah.
Are you ready to hit the floor? Are you ready?
Nick DiGilio here. Thin Lizzy Thursday rocks on, man. You know, 262 area code requested. Are you ready? You know, I am just happy that my fans are going with the deep cuts this morning with the Lizzy. I love my listeners. Man. You know, Dan, whenever we talk about music and then, like, metal comes up, isn't it? It's always kind of astounding. This is Thin Lizzy's not heavy metal, but when like metal comes up, isn't it always astounding the incredible amount of listeners that I have who are metalheads?
Yep, Nazareth in particular.
For some reason, my listeners love Nazareth. Nazareth is the official metal band of the Nick DiGilio show. Yeah, that's because they do love Hurts. And Hair of the Dog. I remember Hair of the Dog, man. When I used to hear Hair of the Dog on the radio, I used to get all giddy because they say son of a bitch in it. And I remember like hearing it on the radio going, ooh, now you're messing with her. And I remember hearing it going, oh, like I was getting away with something. I'd be in the car with my parents. Now you're messing with her, son of a bitch. And then they'd say it, you know, and my parents didn't care. We were probably coming home from The Exorcist at the time. So that was like an after school special, was listening to that song after seeing The Exorcist at 8.
Speaking of the after school special, here's the intro, aforementioned intro.
Here we go. Man, seriously, you know how when you completely forget something and then it comes right back? That's one of those things that just happened. Like that literally, boom.
And for those who've never seen it, it was a drawn picture of a gumball and out of the gumball machine. I'm sorry, a gumball machine.
That's right.
And as the gumball came out of the gumball machine in a fit of cloud, ABC After School Special appeared.
That's right. That's right. That also meant a lot to me because my dad built gumball machines when I was a kid. My dad was still is in the vending business, but now he's on the sale end of it. He does it from home. But my dad built some of the original vending machines and gumball machines.
Nice.
He used to come home with sacks of gumballs. And then you remember, I don't know, you guys are probably too young. I don't know if they still have these in vending machines. But you remember like the little football helmets? The little plastic football helmets, you would put the sticker of the team on the side of it.
Sounds familiar.
And they would have the face guard that you would stick on. I used to have those all. I used to have all that stuff. My dad had like a master key that you could unlock the, like if you go to Jewels.
All of them?
You could unlock them.
How are you not the most popular kid?
Oh, I was.
And a delinquent.
Then I, well.
Opening Jewel.
Something to be said for that. Hey, speaking of delinquents, Steve Cochran is going to be, thank you, Dan. Speaking of delinquents, Steve Cochran is going to be he's going to be in Naperville for the next stop on the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour. It's presented by Allstate. Join him and the rest of the gang for a live broadcast at Egg Harbor Cafe in Naperville tomorrow, the 29th, from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Start your day off right. Come and enjoy the cafe's special breakfast creation, Very Berry Pancakes, at an exclusive price. And you can find all the details at WGNRadio.com. Check out the events page. The WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour is presented by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hands. Okay. Someone said, how about this? Dawn, Portrait of a Teenage Runaway with Eve Plum. Eve Plum.
Is it Jan?
That would be Jan. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia.
That makes sense.
That's why she ran away, because Marcia was getting all the attention. Dave says, didn't Christy McNichol and Meredith Baxter Birney star in those afternoon specials? Yeah. Meredith Baxter Birney, though, I think Meredith Baxter Birney was more with the TV movies, like a lot of Lifetime stuff. Christy McNichol starred in a lot of I think she starred in a lot of those after school specials. Any guy my age, 50-year-old guy, will tell you, massive crush on Christy McNichol. Massive.
Where is she now?
She had some mental health issues, like serious mental health issues.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. She was on Empty Nest. That was the last, like, sort of thing that she did.
Oh, okay.
She was the older sister on Empty Nest.
Right.
And, you know, she was struggling then with mental illness and left the show and then came back and left the show. She shows up every once in a while.
She's in that movie with, I can't remember her name, but they lose her virginity.
That's Little Darlings.
Yes.
It's her and Tatum O'Neal.
Yes.
Matt Dillon, one of his first movies. Mm-hmm. Armand DeSante is in that motion picture.
I don't know
what I want to say. Armand DeSante? Okay. All right. How about this one? You ready? 1983. Have you ever been ashamed of your parents?
That's the title. Oh, no.
That's the title.
I want to know why they were ashamed.
Recent Oscar nominee Jennifer, oh my God, Jennifer Jason Leigh stars alongside Marion Ross of Happy Days. How can you be embarrassed of Mrs. C?
What was she doing?
Nothing but making lovely lunches and making Howard some coffee. What's wrong with Mrs. C? Now I want to see that. By the way, how could Jennifer Jason Leigh be embarrassed of Marion Ross? Wouldn't it be the other way around? Wouldn't Marion Ross go, how the hell did I come up with a kid like Jennifer Jason Leigh? Knowing, I'm not saying Jennifer Jason Leigh, I'm saying most of the parts that she's played.
Right.
Including the new one that she's in The Hateful Eight.
It seems Jennifer Jason Leigh was from a middle-class neighborhood, but became friends with a rich classmate. And therefore was ashamed of her family and their middle-class ways.
Pretty in Pink. Pretty in Pink. Remember, she doesn't want Blaine to drive her home. I'm embarrassed of where I live, okay? Remember that?
She'd have been embarrassed by that clothes.
That's the thing. Thank you, Esmeralda. Everybody say, she's going to make her own dress. It's hideous.
Like, ugh.
It's hideous, isn't it?
Yeah.
I remember at the end of Pretty in Pink.
It's like a doily.
It was ridiculous. You know, I'm a heterosexual man, and I knew that dress was hideous.
It's like, Ducky, you dodged a bullet.
You know that the original ending, she ends up with Ducky.
I mean, they probably should have been together.
Well, Ducky's a bigger jerk than Blaine, in my opinion.
So it would have been fine. She would have been cool.
Ducky's a jerk, man. That's like in Reality Bites, which is a movie that I hate. That's supposed to represent my generation, by the way. Mm. When that movie came out, it was like, because Ben Stiller and I are the same age. Ben Stiller wrote and directed it. You know, Jeanine Garofalo's in it, Ethan Hawke, Winona Ryder.
Yes.
Okay. So I hate that movie. I hate that movie. And here's the thing. Ben Stiller plays like the MTV exec. You've seen the movie, I'm assuming.
No.
Oh, okay.
I've seen bits and pieces.
Oh, you haven't missed anything.
But I know the gist.
Okay. So anyway, Ben Stiller plays like he's supposed to be the evil guy because he represents corporate America.
Right.
And he runs like MTV or something. And Ethan Hawke is the slacker. You know, goateed, greasy haired,
yes.
You know, guy, poet, you know, drinks coffee,
oh, gosh.
You know, has dirty T-shirts on. You know, like Ethan Hawke did that for like 5 years. I think Ethan Hawke is great. I love Ethan Hawke. But for a long time, I was like, screw this guy, you know, especially in that movie. and you're supposed to root for Ethan Hawke. Like, Ethan Hawke is the guy that you're supposed to identify with and like. Ben Stiller is a much cooler person in that movie. Ben Stiller's character is 50 million times more likable and admirable than that jerk that Ethan Hawke plays in that movie.
He's got a job.
Yeah. Oh,
he wears
man.
Sports coats.
But we were supposed to be put in this position where it was like, yeah, man, he's the dirty, you know, grungy poet guy who's got a crush on Winona Ryder but won't admit it when she's dating the handsome guy who wears a suit. How dare he wear a suit and go to work?
And if I remember correctly, watching hours and hours of MTV, I liked the MTV of that time. That was some good MTV. So good for him.
He was doing a good job.
He was.
How about this one from 1985? You ready? High school narc.
Uh-oh. Someone's not cool, man.
Oh, man.
Someone's not cool.
Check out the cast on this one. You ready for this one, Esmeralda? I can't believe that. I just had my mind blown that Jennifer Jason Leigh is in this. Wait till you hear who's in this one. 1985, high school narc, Viggo Mortensen.
Oh. I mean, they had to start somewhere, right?
He honed his skills as a cop who goes undercover as a high school student. Like a 21 Jump Street with Viggo.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to see this. Oh, Dan, this has to be found. Viggo Mortensen in 1985 high school as a narc? Oh, this thing has got to be seen. It's got to be on the YouTubes, right?
Probably.
Oh, that just sounds that sounds like a gift from the Lord right there.
There's an 11-minute clip.
Oh, I'm watching.
Who else is in it?
I don't care. I just don't care. Viggo Mortensen as a cop pretending to be a high school student? That's going to be the greatest thing ever. Man. All right, how about this? 1987. The day my kid went punk.
Oh no. Who wants those punk
there's
kids?
There's a punk for a kid.
Uh-oh.
5 years after a famous Quincy episode, Next Stop Nowhere, this movie focuses on an overlooked, classically trained teen musician who then gets a red mohawk haircut for attention.
Oh, my gosh.
The father is played by Bernie Capel of The Love Boat.
Does he have pins in his ears?
I don't know, man. You can't get a mohawk and be classically trained.
You can. What?
No, I'm just saying, according to this.
Oh, you can't have both.
No, you can't do that.
That's not
are you
cool.
Kidding?
That's not right. You can't do both things. You can't like more than one thing.
No. Send in Viggo Mortensen to straighten this kid out. Oh, man. All right. I'd do anything at all to end this. Yeah. Another great song. Thin Lizzy Thursday. My listeners have responded to Thin Lizzy Thursday. 773 area code requests Wild One, which is a jam.
Yeah, I haven't really listened to Thin Lizzy. Now I want to.
They're an amazing band. An absolutely amazing. Phil Lynott was the king. It was so funny when we went to Ireland. We landed in Dublin and I was just like, of all the things that we were going to go to in Ireland while we were there. And we went to every place that you could get to in the 14 days we were there. I mean, we went everywhere. And best trip I've ever gone on in my life. But we checked into the hotel, and I'm like, come on. And we were in Dublin. I'm like, come on. Like, we have to go to the Phil Lynott statue. There's a statue of Phil Lynott.
You know, it's not going anywhere, right?
I don't care. I was like, I got to go. I have to see it now. That was like the thing I was most excited about. Was that? Oh,
did you get your picture taken?
You're damn right. I got my picture taken right next to Phil. It was the best. He was the man. Okay. All right. Let's see. How about the 1988? Boy, these went on for longer than I thought they did. 1988. Daddy Can't Read.
No.
How many of these titles really have made you, Esmeralda, it's so funny. Like, I've read all these titles. Almost every one of them has made you go, oh, no.
Because you feel so bad for...
But it's an after-school special.
Daddy can't read.
Joey Travolta, the older brother of John, appears in a surprisingly loaded cast that included Michael Jackson as himself, gymnast Kathy Rigby, and Richard Roundtree from Shaft. Daddy can't read.
Do they all come in and be like, you can read?
I'll teach you.
It's easy.
If I wanted to be taught to read, it would be by Shaft.
And Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Hey, how about that? Joseph Fiennes is going to play Michael Jackson. We were talking about Robbie Benson playing in Running Brave. What about this? Joseph Fiennes is going to play Michael Jackson. And that's not, I mean, first of all, that's completely screwed up and insane. First of all. But then add the other detail that it's a 9/11 dramedy. It's a road movie with Joseph Fiennes as Michael Jackson. Okay, and I'm not making this up. This isn't an article from The Onion. This is real. Elizabeth Taylor, and who's the third?
Wait, Elizabeth Taylor?
Yeah, somebody plays Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, okay.
So it's Michael Jackson, Elizabeth Taylor, and...
Marlon.
Marlon Brando. And they all try to travel back when 9/11 happens. So it's like a road movie. And who's playing? Because I remember the actors have already been announced, right? It's Elizabeth Taylor's and Marlon Brando were played by somebody, and the casting there seems relatively normal. Mm-hmm. And then it's Joseph Fiennes is playing Michael Jackson.
And they're all older, correct? Because if it's
it was 2001, yeah, it was 2001. So it would be kind of an older, heavier version of both of Elizabeth Taylor and Marlon Brando.
Yeah, that's all right. I don't know what to say.
Apparently Robbie Benson wasn't available to play Michael Jackson.
I'm curious to see what's going to come of this.
It's a British thing.
Okay.
It's a British film.
I don't even know. Goodness. Okay.
No, you seriously, I can't even.
That's,
How about this one? A very delicate matter. A teenage girl is shocked when her former boyfriend tells her that he has gonorrhea. And it's Zach Galligan from Gremlins. I can't imagine him having...
How dare he?
...having gonorrhea. Billy from Gremlins?
Broke her heart.
He did more than break her heart. you don't need to take a shot for a broken heart. How about this one? My mother was never a kid. A teenage girl is convinced that her mother does not understand her younger generation. Then she is sent back in time to see her mother as a teenager.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty cool.
I'd want to see that.
Yeah. All right. How about Tough Girl?
Is it T-U-F-F?
No, that's Tough Turf. I walk the night. Remember We Walk the Night?
Yes.
James Spader. You kept Richards. Wondering why he just didn't get his face kicked in when he was singing that song at the party. Why aren't these guys beating him up?
I would think someone would shut him up.
Tough Girl, a streetwise teenager, is sent to live in the suburbs with her father's new family. Okay.
Since we have 112 of these to go, maybe another night we can just read the title and have you guys guess the plot.
Oh, okay. All right. I think that's a good idea. All right, I'll just okay. All right, I'll do one more. The Terrible Secret. The Terrible Secret. After teenage Bobby Marston experiences a hit and run, the guilt takes its toll on everybody in his life. Co-starring Michael Biehn from Terminator and Aliens.
So he did the hitting?
I guess.
And the running?
He did both. He hit and he ran. And Michael Biehn chased, I guess. I don't know. All right, I'm hanging on to this. This, by the way, is only ABC, and there are 600 pages of it. All right, thank you. Evidently, I made Mary, the producer of the next show, mad because I've dissed Reality Bites, and it's her favorite movie ever. I'm sorry.
Once again, the door came off the hinges.
She came flying into that room. What did he say about Reality Bites? So, all right. All right, let's say hello to Steve. Steve, how are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Do you like Reality Bites? You better, because your producer does.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I love Reality Bites. My favorite show.
There you go.
Yeah, favorite all time.
Okay.
Don't want to get in trouble with my producer.
You do not.